Blog Talk Radio.
Felix of Harness Network, and this is a little bit of a 15-minute rant on baseball, actually. Baseball strategy, and just something that was on my mind after watching the Yankees lose to the Blue Jays 4-0 in the finale at Toronto, a game that once again showed that Toronto is a better team than the Yankees. I think we'd all agree with that at this point. They got a well-pitched game out of Marcus Stroman, who matched zeros. And Ivan Novas stuck with him for almost six innings. Certainly pitched well for a guy that hadn't been in the rotation, and certainly did a good job. And seemed to keep the Blue Jays batters off balance all night. Nova hadn't pitched since September 12th, and he had to get to the start because Tanaka had to miss a start because of the hamstring. So Nova on more rest just seemed like he was in control. Seemed like he was doing a really good job. And for whatever reason, Girardi decided to pull him in with two outs in the sixth inning. Now, at the time, Nova did have 110 pitches, and he had just lost Russell Martin, ex-Yankee Russell Martin, to a 3-2 walk. So he walked him on a 3-2 pitch on the outside. And I could definitely understand pitching him carefully, especially when you think about what Russell Martin did a little later in the game. Off Andrew Bailey hitting the three-run home run that basically finished the game on a very emotional day for the Yankees and for baseball, with the Yankees losing Yogi Berra at the age of 90 years old. Yogi Berra, one of the great, one of the all-time greats, especially at the catcher position, but a champion, a guy who won 10 world championships, and a guy who just personified not just the Yankees, but baseball. Guy was just everything, everything that is to do with baseball, and very sad, of course, but he did die of natural causes, and he had a great life. And but I just want to talk a little bit about just the way managers manage games. I really didn't think there was any reason for Girardi to pull Nova at that point. Nova really kept the Blue Jays off balance. You could tell he was really sharp. Used his breaking ball very well in this game. Was biting. He really picked apart Justin Smoke, who has been killing the Yankees basically all year. And he got him to chase it three times. And yeah, I know that it was he did throw 110 pitches. I understand that. But I also, have to take the manager to task. Why pull your starter there when he's pitched so well? He's giving you every chance there, and why put in, really don't belong in that kind of game? And you want to finish with the wild card where you got to play one game, or, are you gonna maybe take the risk? Let your starter try to get that out. But I think that Nova deserved to get that out. I'm not alone on this. John Sterling said as such, and so did Susan Waldman, and so there was second guessing here. And when Girardi goes to James Pazos, who's never really pitched before, he gives up a hit in first and third, and then he brings in Caleb Popham, who's just terrible, who gives up a walks a batter and then gives up a go-ahead run. It does make you ask questions, maybe he should have let Nova finish that inning, and that's how I felt about it. I felt that he deserved a chance there at that spot. It's a chance to get to 1.5 games. I know the Yankees didn't do anything against Stroman, and then Stroman pitched very well, keeping them off balance, 7 scoreless in his third start of the season. And then, of course, Rex Denning Martin, blasts one off Bailey. Bailey missed location on an inside fastball, and Martin did damage, and that basically ended the game. The Yankees weren't going to come back 4 runs down. Brett Cecil and Osuna were able to shut him down in the last 2 innings. And the Blue Jays now are 3.5 up, and they're going to win the AL East. I just feel that sometimes when it comes to strategic and strategy, I do feel like sometimes you have to give your starter the chance there to get that out there. And I felt like this was an opportunity. I felt like it would have been a deserved opportunity for Nova. I mean, a lot of people, and some people were like, well, he did have 110 pitches. He was coming off surgery. But, you know, for the people who basically say that, you know, what the heck is he doing out there? He pitched a whale of a game. And why not let him get the next batter? Why not let him give him the chance to get the next batter? That's how I felt at that moment. And would be proven right, because Betances and, Miller weren't going to really be available, probably. Definitely Miller, probably, with over 40 pitches. Maybe Betances would have been. But all it was going to take was one run. You could tell that right away. And I was definitely disappointed. Came away very disappointed with it. And I feel like sometimes managers just don't trust their starters enough. And of course, it's a two-way street. You know, we've seen other sides to this. Of course, where sometimes they do stay with the starter too long. We saw it with Pedro Martinez back in 2003, where Brady Little kept him in there against the Yankees when the Yankees were rallying in that eighth inning, and Posada was able to get the tying hit, and of course that went to extras, and you know what happened with Aaron Boone off Wakefield. But, I mean, in a game, sometimes you have to go by feel or instinct. And I felt like the best chance for the Yankees to keep this game tied at zero would have been letting Nova get the chance to get him out. He'd only given up 4 hits, only 6 base runners total, 6 strikeouts. He was sharp. What would have been the harm in letting him go after Ryan Goins? I think that probably would have been the best move right there, and they didn't. And then Kevin Pillar batter later with plate, the first run, the game-winning run, and then Russell Martin would bury one in the next inning off Bailey, who missed his spot. They set up inside on a 3-2 pitch, and once the ball started to move, once you see the catcher start to move the other way, you don't even have to look. Especially when it's a guy like Martin who does damage. And Matt's his career high off his 21st home run. And a great job out of the Blue Jays. Certainly they took advantage. But it's disappointing, to say the least. Is it the end of the world? No, it isn't. The Yankees still in very good, solid position for that first wild card, 83-68. Even though they're probably not going to win the AL East. If they had won this game, of course, they could have been right there. I mean, it would have been a one-game difference in the loss column. And now the Blue Jays have reduced their magic number to 8. And for the Blue Jays, there's 10 games left. For the Yankees, there's 11 games left in the regular season. So the Yankees have to just move forward and get ready for their next schedule, for their next games that they have coming up. It's going to be a different time for them, honoring Yogi Berra, certainly a legend of the sport and just an ambassador. And you never heard a bad story about Yogi Berra, and it's because he was great, not just on the field, but off the field, too. And, of course, we can go back to his riff with George Steinbrenner, when Steinbrenner fired him in 1985 after, like, a ridiculous, you know, short amount of, like, 16 games where he fired him. And he said he promised him the whole season. Berra said he would never come back to the stadium and held a grudge. And he never spoke to each other for 14 years. And Susan Wolman gets the full credit for getting them back together at Yogi Berra's museum in New Jersey at Montclair, and they did get back together, and they had Yogi Berra Day at the stadium, and very symbolic or poetic, where they brought out Don Larson, who I actually did meet back in, I believe, 94 or 95 at the Yankee Fan Fest when they used to have those during the winter. And I got his autograph, and he also wrote the initials of the perfect game. He did. I still have that bowl in my collection. But symbolic, though, that Larson would throw to Berra, and Berra would borrow Girardi's bit, and he blessed it. He must have blessed it perfectly, because David Coleman pitched a perfect game. Goes out and pitches a perfect game himself against the Expos. I'll never forget that. 88 pitches, the top up, where he points up, and Larson catches it. And it was just one of those special Yankee moments. And there are a lot of special moments when you talk about the Yankees and their past history. And that's one of them. And the fact that they did have Yogi Berra back in the braces, certainly very special. He lived an unbelievable life. From the Yogi-isms, over till it's over. Make sure you take the fork in the road if you have the chance to. I actually was on a road where I took a fork today, actually. So, but Yankees will honor Yogi Berra in the playoffs, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's probably going to be the wild card, and it's probably going to be either the Astros, or it could even be the Twins, who are only a game back, or it could even be the Angels. So we'll see how things shake out. Whoever they draw, it's going to be tough. But it definitely is, and especially when you think about the fact that the Yankees don't really hit three quality pitchers, and they've had problems all year with Dallas Keuchel, who I feel is the front runner for the AL Cy Young. David Price would be second on that list. I don't know if I would give it to him, but he did. He's been with the Jays. He's been awesome. And dominating. He's got a better ERA than Keuchel, but I think Keuchel's probably going to win it. Could come down to that final week as far as what happens. There's a lot to still be decided. There's still that second wild card. There's still three teams fighting for the AL West. The Texas Rangers still leading out in front. And definitely an interesting time. It really is. The Angels squeaking out a 6-5 win. And they're right there. So, right there as far as it goes. And when you look at the standings, you got Texas right now with the magic number of 8, 3 games up. They got the Astros separated by a game and a half with the Twins and Angels. Twins a game behind, and the Angels game and a half behind, one in the loss column. So, certainly an interesting race to track down the stretch. And whoever it is that the Yankees do draw, assuming they do take care of business, it's going to be tough. Because when it comes down to one game, the Yankees are going to need to have it set up for Tanaka. So hopefully we'll be able to pitch that game. And if not Tanaka, then Pineda, definitely. I mean, you want one of those two guys to pitch the game. Right now, the Yankees still have some business to tend to. They still have to win games down the stretch. They got the White Sox coming up for 4 games. And these are all going to, it's Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then they're going to finish their home slate against the Boston Red Sox. So that's going to be pretty neat. The Red Sox paying a visit to the stadium starting next Monday. And then that's also 4 games later. The Yankees will finish at Baltimore for 3. So that's what the Yankees have left is 11 games. The Blue Jays, they try to put the finishing touches on a division title, and certainly be well-deserved. The Blue Jays have not been back to the playoffs since Joe Carter with that dramatic home run. So that's pretty amazing stuff right there. They're going to try to finish out their schedule. Look at their schedule real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. They'll have to take in 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, and winning the season series comfortably. They got the Rays for three, and then they got the Orioles for I think also three, and then they're going to also have they got one more series after that. So, but the Blue Jays are probably going to have the MVP with Josh Donaldson, even though he has kind of stayed slumped a little bit down the stretch. Yankees were able to get him out, big strikeouts. And they might even have the Cy Young, depending on what happens between David Price and Dallas Keuchel down the stretch. So that's definitely interesting stuff to look at in terms of the races. And that's where you're off the Yankees right now. The Mets, they are not playing well at all down the stretch. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Braves, which is just hard to believe. And the Mets had a very bad homestand. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Braves. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. And they're going to go on the road. They have stopped hitting tests, but this is not hitting. And they've had some issues lately. Familia not able to hold on to a tie game. They gave up a home run to Freddie Freeman in the ninth inning, a 3-run shot, and they lost. But for the Mets, their magic number is only 5 because the Washington Nationals, just like they have all season, have not been able to win games when they needed to. They lose 2 games to the Orioles, and that pretty much says all you have to say about the Nationals. Scherzer, on a night where Scherzer pitched and he struck out 12 batters, he did give up a go-ahead 2-run home run. And in the 7th inning to Manny Machado. And that's who the Nats are. That's who they've been since June. And they're not going to be in the playoffs, and that one is probably going to get canned. And a game also that featured Palabon getting tossed by the plate umpire. And it just sums a lot of things up, sums up a lot of frustration. So Drew Storen, last time we saw him, he gave up a home run, I think, to Cespedes. And then he took out some punishment, and he was gone for the season. So, I mean, it's what it is. But the Mets are down to world magic number 5, so they're probably going to clinch, I would say, by the weekend. And they will win the NL East, despite the fact that they're not playing good baseball. But they will win the NL East. And they're still fighting with the Dodgers for that home field. Now, who's going to have the home field that matchup? The Mets are 85-67. The Dodgers, they got a big win last night against the Diamondbacks. And they also got help with the Giants losing to the Padres. They blew a 4-2 lead in that one. So Dodgers right now, they're closing in on that AL West title, and with something that will wrap up, you know, also in probably a couple of days. The Dodgers, you know, with a nice 7-game cushion, and magic number 5. And the Dodgers are a game up on the Mets for that home field, 86-65. So not much difference there. Well, it's really a game and a half. It's 2 in the lost column. So it's really a game. And if the Mets have an extra game left, so to decide on. So you have that. You got the Pirates, who clinched the playoffs for a 3rd straight year. That's the team I would keep my eye on. I really like them. You know, I'm not going to say they have great pitching, but they have a couple of guys who can give them innings. Certainly a couple of pitchers there that will give them innings. And you got McCutchen, who is, again, he should finish in the top 3 in MVP voting. Garrett Cole, the ace, who's one of the more overlooked guys. He's not going to finish in the top 3 or 4 in Cy Young, but he'll get some votes because he had a great year, making me regret the fact that I traded him. And you also have Mariano, who also, you know, is a guy that's proven. So that's a good 1-2 punch right there. After that, you know, are they really going to have A.J. Happ pitch as the third starter? Or probably Burnett. You know, Burnett is more hittable, but that's more proven. So I think that's what you'll see. And the bullpen is very good. Mark Melanson, a guy that I covered at Staten Island back in 2006 when he closed for George Contos, who was a reliever on the Giants, which is funny. I mean, they beat each other not too long ago. One was the winner and one was the loser. Conto's gone off the game winning home run. Nelson, it says need to lead 49 saves. And there's not much talk about this guy, but he's close to 49 games and he's only blown two. And he's one of the best relievers or best closers in baseball, Tony Watson, an excellent setup guy. They also have Soria, so they have a good bullpen. I wouldn't call the offense great, but they have some players. Of course, you got McCutcheon, who's the stud guy. You got Starling Marte. They have Cervelli behind the plate, who's hitting over 300, giving him a good year and proving that he can be a everyday catcher, along with handling the pitching staff. Walker at second base. Ramirez Ramirez is back. Rickey Polanco's a guy who's developed and has had a good second half as a leadoff hitter. Alvarez is a streaky guy who puts the power and strikes out on tall. I mean, it's not like in the league of the Cubs, not the Cubs offense. But, you know, this is a team that's going to be tough to beat. They did lose one of their better players, Jungho Kang, for the rest of the season. So that's going to be tough to replace. So they should miss him at shortstop. The only edge I would give the Cubs, you know, because they're probably, because them and the Pirates are basically going to be head-to-head. It looks like the Pirates are going to hold because they're three games up. I mean, the Cubs are going to have Jake Arrieta for that game. That's Jake Arrieta has been lights out. He's got a 0.86 ERA in the second half. He's just been unbelievable and has a horse right now. Greinke is going to probably win the Cy Young because he's got better numbers, but I think Arrieta is the best pitcher this year. I haven't seen a guy as dominant, certainly a guy who seems to always seem to be giving him nine innings and just, and you have Chris Bryant over the 100 RBIs. So you have him and Rizzo are just a great 1-2 punch. Starling Castro, since being moved more into a tilde role, seems to be, you know, performing better. Addison Russell's developing well. They have an explosive offense, the Cubs. So the only thing I don't like is I don't like their bullpen at all. And the Pirates' strengths are their bullpen and having a little bit more experience. But, you know, Arrieta now is down to a 1.88 ERA, won his 20th game, got four complete games. I mean, he's not going to win the Cy Young. He's got over a strikeout per inning. Opponents hitting 191 against him, at 0.90 whip, 147 hits on 260 innings, 216. And that's just unbelievable. And he's just been untouchable. He's untouchable right now. You could really make the argument for both him and Greinke sharing the Cy Young because that's how dominant they both have been. And it's not so much that I dislike Greinke. I mean, Greinke's had an unbelievable year, and he's probably going to opt out of his contract and then go free agent. But, I don't know, every time Arrieta's on the mound, I mean, he's just unbelievable what he's done for his team. And don't forget, John Lester is a good pitcher, and he's had a good second half. But, you know, when you have Clayton Kershaw, you know, in your ranking, you have Clayton Kershaw also in your rotation. It's a big difference. It is a big difference. So that's another way to look at it. I really would like to see. I'd like to see Arrieta win the award. I think that he will probably finish runner up, and it's going to be a very close race because he's made it that way. Right now, Greinke still has the better ERA, 1.65 to 1.88, and those are just outstanding years from two just great pitchers. 21 for Arrieta, who of course leads the majors, the only 20 game winner at this point. Greinke with 18 wins, and Kershaw are now down to a 2.18 ERA. So there's a lot of pitching in the senior circuit. Then you have Gerrit Cole, who's actually, he's probably in that top five right now. Now, DeGrom kind of going a little bit cool lately, so he's in that top five. Bumgarner always is a horse for the Giants, even though they're not going to make the playoffs. He has four complete games also and two shutouts, and it's a World One hitter not too long ago, 18 wins. But he's in there. Scherzer had a bad second half. Is he one of the elite starters? No question at all, he is. But 12-12 record is indicative of what the Nats have been. Scherzer got off to a dominant start, and he had a really bad stretch tonight. And he struck off both batters, but he gave up the go-ahead two-run home run. And that's something that's plagued him, actually, in the second half. 249 strikeouts. So, I mean, that's just a great number of strikeouts there. The innings, 211. Plus, Kershaw leads in that category. Kershaw is amazing. I agree with JPG. You know, John was a big Kershaw guy. And as far as, like, what he does in the regular season, it's usually better than everybody else. You know, it just so happens this year, Greinke is just having just a special season. 207 2/3, 140 hits, 36 walks, 185 strikeouts, 85 whiff, 29 batting average against, 18-3. Arrieta, as we said, Derek Cole also a splendid season. That's the story. That is the story with the NL. And as far as the MVP race, Bryce Harper is going to win the MVP. It doesn't matter if the Nats are going to miss the playoffs. Bryce Harper, with just an awesome finish to the year, even though his team will miss, 341, 41 home runs, 95 RBIs, that franchise mark, I think, the most walks in a single season, with the Nats, 120 walk 3 times during night. And the 1.141 OPS is just off the charts, or for a 72 on base percentage. Who are your MVP three? Obviously, Bryce will probably finish first. He should get the award now. He'll be first. Second, runner-up. You could take your choice, whether it's you want to put Zach Greinke there, or maybe you want to put Jake Arrieta there. Or, you might want to put one of those pitchers in that top three or four. And then maybe a Paul Goldschmidt, or maybe a Chris Bryant, who's playing his way to contention. Andrew McCutchen. McCutchen would be in my top three, actually. If we're just scrolling strictly hitters, I'd probably go Harper, McCutchen, and maybe I would go. It's tough to not put Goldschmidt in there. Maybe I would go Chris Bryant or Arrieta. Actually, if it was just hitters, it'd probably be Chris Bryant. Well, I'm sure Goldschmidt will probably get the nod just for the fact that you can't really ignore his numbers. It's tough to ignore what he's done. Even though he plays for the Diamondbacks, so Buster Posey, that's the other guy. Buster Posey, again, holding in another 100 RBI season, and he's second in batting average behind Bryce Harper. It's D. Gordon. D. Gordon's second. Posey's tied for third with Escobar, 324, 1993. Another fantastic season from the Giants. Catcher will also place him first. And that's your race there. NL Rookie of the Year. I mean, that's also a title word. Well, actually, no, that's not a title word, actually. Chris Bryant's basically run away with it. At one point, you could have made a case for Noah Syndergaard, but he's been a little up and down since then. And I think that, probably you're looking at Chris Dan, you're probably looking at Matt Duffy, who continues to hit over 300 and continues to be a consistent performer for the Giants. And maybe it's Syndergaard, or maybe it's another one of those cups. Whether you talk about Addison Russell. Actually, Addison Russell wasn't at the average, but I mean, it's basically going to be between two guys. I don't know where I'll put Jock Peterson. He has 25 home runs, but he's hitting like 210. It's kind of, I don't even know if he'll finish in the top three. With that, those numbers. AL race, Josh Donaldson will win the MVP. He'll get the MVP for the AL. And after that, And Pratt's having a good finish, so he's going to finish runner up. Now, who should finish third? You got some choices whether you want to put, the best player on the Astros is Jose Altuve, and again, Altuve's had a great second half. But they're not even going to win their division, so I would maybe go lean towards Lorenzo Cain. I think Lorenzo Cain is a very valuable player for the Royals. He is their best overall player in terms of what he does between the hit average and the stolen bases and the runs scored, and he also has some power and he plays a great outfield. He might be in that top three. Kendrick Morales also has had a great year, but he's probably not going to finish in there. But do you put in Nelson Cruz? Nelson Cruz with 42 home runs. So he will be in the top five, but where do you put him? Well, Michael Brantley was had another big second half last year, right there for MVP last year. But Trout is up to 40 home runs. I'm sure he'll be the runner-up. And if he gets the Angels in, that increases his likelihood that I'll get some maybe votes first place, even though I think Donaldson should win it. I think Donaldson deserves to win it unanimously. With 39 home runs and 120 RBIs. Maybe throw another Blue Jay in there like Edwin Encarnacion. Possibly. So that's the race for that. AL Cy Young, we just detailed between two guys, Keuchel and Price. Sonny Gray has had a terrible second half, a terrible finish to the season. So it's just two guys for that award. And AL Rookie of the Year. Top Rookie of the Year. Right now, got to think about that one, actually. Billy Burns was a chief candidate for the Jays. Nice leadoff guy. A guy that they got from the NAF, actually, that's been a solid guy. Greg Bird was here for a full season. He'd probably be in the mix. He would be in the mix for top rookie, especially when you see the way he hits the ball and just very productive. Very impressive. Very impressed with him. I thought Lance McCullers could have been in play for this award, but he's down, so he's not gonna be in there for it in the discussion. Who actually will get some votes? Antonio Osuna, the closer for the Jays. He's got up for 20 saves, and he will get some votes for it. So that's a guy that I would look towards. And there has got to be someone. There's got to be someone that I'm leaving out at this time, because there always are players that you leave out, and especially at this time of hour. But I can't think right now in terms, but this was just a late baseball rant. Even though I don't think I was too tough in terms of I think that sometimes Girardi just aggravates me with his choices. I think that he probably could have stuck with Nova in that spot, and I'm glad that I wasn't the only one that thought that. That's because he and just the way pitchers are managed, the way they're handled, it just drives me nuts. But I think that was the point of this little rant that I did, was that I just think that their hand is so fragile. It's such a fragile, between how they're handled now, it makes me cringe, to be honest. It really does make me cringe. That's right. The two top rookies are Miguel Sanó, the big hitter for the Twins, He's getting mostly a DH style, and Carlos Correa, that's the guy who I would pick to win the award. You know, he has kind of slumped down this stretch, at least in terms of the hitting, but he really is flanked as the shortstop for the Astros. Looks like the heir apparent to A-Rod, 19 home runs and 58 RBIs. His defense at shortstop, I've talked about it before, I spoke about it before, and I think it's splendid. I really enjoy watching him. He's just starting to figure everything out too. So, that's your 1-2 right there. Sano is a guy that just has unbelievable power. 17 home runs and 238 at bats. Unbelievable power. There's a lot of talent in this rookie class. Devon Travis was the early guy, for the Blue Jays. And before he got hurt, he looked like he was going to run away with the award, but he's hurt. A lot of people like Steven Sousa, on the Rays, Rays traded for him with the Nats, but he is great defensively. He's got a good bat in terms of power, but he doesn't have any plate discipline. He needs to work on his plate discipline. The other Cubs I was thinking of was Kyle Schwarber, who has a lot of power. He might have the most power out of any of the rookies. Although Sano and I think Greg Bird would give him a run for the money. Conforto also has been a good rookie since he came off the Mets, proven that he could hit. Got some pop in his bat. Joey Gallo is a future guy that's going to probably hit between 30 to 40 home runs for Texas. He got that one call up in cameo where he was wrecking the ball. He's detailed Jock Peterson already. He's going to need to learn to be a little more disciplined. I forgot about Stephen Piscotty, one of those new Cardinal players that you have to keep an eye on. Granted, Grichuk, of course, is the other guy, Grichuk, with the 17 home runs. I don't know where the Cardinals get these guys from. They're just unbelievable drafting and developing players. It's a good rookie class. It definitely is. Byron Buxton, still trying to figure it out with the Twins. Because he's not hit much, but he's another guy that you can watch in the future. Michael Franco from the Phillies, third baseman, another guy to keep your eye on. A lot of talent in this class, and that's definitely exciting for fans. Especially if you're fans of young players, who are coming into their own. Andrew Haney, certainly a guy that I like, who's traded for Howie Kendrick. And Haney has pitched very well for the Angels. Chris Heston was the other pitcher in the NL, and so was Taylor Jugman. Those two guys have been solid contributors to their teams. Jugman for the Brewers with 9 wins, and Chris Heston for the Giants with 11 wins. Steven Matz looks like he's going to be a future stud. The Mets. I like him better. Actually, him and Syndergaard are both good. I think Mets might be a little something about him. Maybe because he's a lefty, I like him a little better from what I've seen. The fact that you have all these young pitchers, Aaron Nola, another guy, Daniel Norris, who was acquired for David Price, another guy that you can look at, Osuna, who I said should get votes for rookie. I think he'll finish in the top three. Carlos Rodon, another guy that's getting big experience, a first-round pick for the White Sox, starting. There's never been more quality rookies than there are now. Some of them have been brushed into it, and some haven't. But that's where you are, pretty much detailed all of baseball. All right, we will try to maybe have a show. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow, but it might be Friday. We will try to do an NFL show. All right, but that's going to do it. And we think that's the end of this rant. Thank you anyway for tuning in if you did, and catch y'all all guys. We'll see you next time.